Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Remember how the foolish scoff at you all the day. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, a parable that Jesus tells. And it's a parable you've heard before, no doubt. It is a parable, however, that I think we might think initially that it is a very simple parable. Luke sets it up by saying this is about prayer, about praying continually. You listen to it, you say, sure, I get it. Praying is important. Praying continually, repeatedly, is important. So what is next? And you are correct. Luke does point out that Jesus says, tells this parable to the effect that we always ought to pray and not lose heart. But I find this little parable more intriguing than that simple gloss. It fascinates me. I'm fascinated the way this reading ends by Jesus telling us that God will answer the prayers of his elect and speedily. But then he turns around and asks, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith on earth? Now, there are rhetorical questions that are tacked on to a speech for comedic effect that everyone either knows the answer to, and so the speaker is making an obvious point, or he's maybe being sarcastic. Either way, it ends up being humorous. This question does not come across me like one of those rhetorical questions. There are other rhetorical questions that are raised to make you think, to make you ponder. The speaker is not leading you to an obvious answer, and he's not going to give that obvious answer himself. It is a live question. This strikes me as one of those times. I don't think Jesus is joking here when he asks this. Will the Son of Man even find faith on earth? And so, treat this as a live question. Let it sink in before you simply answer along the lines of course there will be faith on earth. I attend a conservative Lutheran church, and here is my fine, faithful self right here, Jesus. Right? Jesus knows about conservative Christians, and he still asks this question. So before you answer that way, notice that Jesus is linking this question. He's not asking about a quiz of doctrine, but rather he is linking this to prayer. And I also think in some way about what we pray. Because I think a good follow-up question to Luke's introduction about this is about prayer and not losing heart, I think a good follow-up is, pray for what exactly? Just anything? I think we're inclined, knowing that this parable is about prayer, to move on and think, sure, Jesus, I pray for lots of stuff. I pray for better health. I pray for good fortune. I pray for good grades. I pray for my country. Right? I pray for my family and friends when they're in all sorts of different situations and troubles. And I'm not knocking those kinds of prayers. We pray those prayers here at the service every week. We will pray them in a few minutes. They are good prayers. I would point out, though, that that is not the kind of prayer that the widow in the story is praying. She is not praying about a bum hip that is giving her trouble. She's not praying about good weather so that she may fully enjoy her vacation. You know, as you read this story that Jesus sets up, he says that this little old widow is praying for vengeance. That intrigues me. I hope that intrigues you a little bit. Now, sometimes the translation gets softened that she is merely asking for justice or vindication. But this word is almost always elsewhere translated, vengeance. This little old woman wants this judge to get her adversary. She wants something done to that man. If this woman's case were cut and dried, if all she was looking for is a fair shake, she would not go to an unrighteous judge. No, you track down shady characters when you are done fighting fair. She goes to this judge who doesn't give a lick about anything, and she badgers him because she knows that he can make things happen. Unpleasant things, by the way it sounds. Avenge me is her prayer. Of all of the things that Jesus could have chosen, this prayer is the one that he holds up as an example. And so I think it is a fair question to ask, do you pray like that? And if we don't pray like that, what was that question? What was the live question that we talked about earlier? How does Jesus end the lesson? When the Son of Man returns, will he even find faith on earth? Now, I know that this prayer is prayed in heaven. In Revelation chapter 6, John records that the souls of those slain call out to God, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long? How long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? In our reading today, Jesus is not asking about heaven. He is asking about faith on earth. And so it is a good question in regard to our prayers, because I think at least one of the things that Jesus is getting at is that our prayers are often half-hearted, right? We pray in ways that will accommodate us to the fallen world. Our prayers are about dealing with the brokenness of this world and our sufferings in a way, often in a way that wants to make them manageable. If we can't be in charge, if we can't be on top, then we at least want to be comfortably numb. And if we are, then we're fine. The world can go on just as it has been going on in all of its brokenness, in all of its wickedness, in all of its sin, in all of its fallenness. But here Jesus gives us a story about a woman who prays as if she has had it with the way that things have been going. She's done playing nice. She prays that that judge would do something drastic to her enemy, and she will not let up. Will not let up until he does. Her prayer is not that the judge would fix things, but rather that he would put an end to that which opposes her. A couple months back, we had the reading earlier on in Luke. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And we hear that and we think hyperbole. Jesus is overdoing it for rhetorical effect. The other option, though, is that we might not be taking him seriously enough. Are you comfortable with your life? Have you made peace with the way that the world is? Is everything fine as long as you've got a lazy boy and you can pay the cable bill? Because if it is, if you're perfectly content, then why would you call out for Jesus to come and do something drastic? Why would you pin all of your hopes on the coming bridegroom if you have bread and circuses to occupy your time? Why would you look forward to Judgment Day if you were perfectly at ease with today? If you do not fear and love God, if you do not want him around, if you do not respect men, you do not love your neighbor, that is the description of someone who is unjust. That is the description of someone who is unrighteous. And that is not a compliment, right? There is someone like that in the parable. But he is not the one that Jesus calls on you to emulate. That guy doesn't ask for much other than not to be bothered. On the other hand, if you recognize that the current situations that you find yourself in, the current situations that you find your family in, you find your country in, you find your world in, if you find those unacceptable, then Jesus says you need to pray. But pray that God would do something drastic. No half measures. Pray that he would end it all. Finish it. Complete your work, Lord. Pray as if you would actually like Jesus to return. That, Jesus says in this prayer, well, that is what faith looks like. That is looking to God as if you actually wanted him around, as if you desired his presence. But I will warn you, praying that way is dangerous because it is a very faithful prayer. Right? It is so faithful and strong, the adversary will take you seriously when you pray that. The little old woman in Jesus' parable had attracted the attention of someone, and someone who did not make her life easy. That is the way of all the faithful. We heard Paul say, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Nevertheless, Jesus says, it is good to pray that prayer. And he says that when you pray, know that you do not pray to some unjust judge, but rather you pray to your heavenly Father. You have connections. Work them. God also doesn't fear God because he is God, and he does not respect men because they are his creatures, but he loves his children. He loves the ones whom he has chosen and cleansed by rather drastic means, right? By Jesus dying and rising again. It is he who conquers your adversary, your true adversaries, right? It is he who conquers the devil. It is he who conquers death. It is he who conquers sin. And Jesus says he will come speedily to make everything else right soon. Amen.